Thank you, Lord. That buzz of fellowship, saints together, doing life, loving God. As we say, pressing towards the mark, learning to trust Him more every day, learning the reality of what He said about us. That word becomes life inside of us. No longer just words on a page. But a reality that shows up in every part of our lives. It's a little translation of a portion of Scripture in John 16. I'd never quite heard it put this way before, and I talked about different translations and how the image is already there, the understanding is already there, but then there'll be another version or a translation of one particular part that just seems to say it in a way that you can grab a hold of, that resonates in your spirit. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture. Jesus says, there's so much more I would like to say to you, but it's more than you can grasp at the moment. And when I read over the truth of what He says right there, that's probably about all I'm able to grasp right there myself. But I know one thing, if we did really grasp this, not only our lives, but the world and the reality around us will change. But when the truth-giving Spirit comes, He will unveil the reality of every truth within you. Revelation is really an unveiling. It's an unveiling of Jesus Christ. The reality of who He is, the reality of who I am in Him, He is in me. That's the truth that comes. That's the truth-giving Spirit within us. That it unveils the truth that's already residing in us. It's not created. It manifests. It's already there. Our healing, when it manifests, is already there. There's a word, manifest, that's translated when we go back to the Strong's and look at it. I love the way that it says this. It says, rendered apparent. So when we see a manifestation, it's being rendered apparent. I know not everybody is a Star Trek fan or whatever, but if you've ever watched an episode or so of that, you see the Klingons have this ship. And that, there you go. They have what's called a cloaking device, of which the ship is really there. But when it's cloaked, you can't see it. But when it's uncloaked, it's rendered apparent. Lots of us are believing God for a healing. It's already there, but it has not yet been rendered apparent. But the truth of it is there. This has been a week in which been a loss of dear friends to to several people, myself included. It doesn't change the truth. It doesn't change my theology. I don't let circumstances change the way I believe, because the circumstances don't change the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God changes circumstances. Because if I allow anything that the enemy does or anything in life, any of my circumstances, if I allow that to cause me to react to it, then I have allowed the enemy to set part of my agenda. He's not the one to set our agenda. My doctrine is not formed by experience. But on the other side, I believe that all revelation should lead us into an experience with God, to experience the Christ, to experience who He really is. I'd like to turn to Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 6. And before I begin to talk about some other things and sort of put it in the frame of reference along the lines of what I've been talking about, I think this is a good plumb line for any conversation that we have or any area that goes on for our discussion. This is the truth. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. I want to pause right there. We've been talking about spiritual wickedness in high places, principalities and powers, rulers of darkness in high places. He is the head of all principalities and powers. In whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Gary talked about that last week, the true circumcision and the true who is really a Jew. We are, verse 12, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That's the truth. That's the position that we hold. That's the position that we enforce on this earth through our declarations, through our every part of our life, is to enforce and agree with what the Word says. We don't have to go there, but a very familiar portion of Scripture in Ephesians, and that was Paul's prayer. The eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. First, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That word knowledge there is not some type of mental assent. So knowing the Word and knowing the truth, the knowledge that's going to set us free is the knowledge on the intimate basis, that kind of an intimacy with the Lord. I saw something that I hadn't seen before back in Colossians chapter 2. Verse 15, that word spoiled. That's a really interesting word. Because while Jesus had his garments, when he had his garments stripped from him, the principalities were being spoiled. And that word spoiled means to wholly strip of one's garments. So the enemy was being wholly stripped of whatever power and authority he had. Another part of the translation says the clothing of the soul. They were deprived of power. The Lord has been showing me a lot about strongholds in my own life, and I'm just now tasting of a stronghold in my life that has been there for years and years and years and forever. I have almost as many questions as people might pose to me about how it came about. But part of the way that I would describe it, and because I've tasted of some of this myself now, there are other strongholds in my life that I look at differently now. I'm able to co-labor with an outcome. I mentioned in the very beginning that the marismos, the body, soul, and spirit, and dividing body, soul, and spirit is something that the Lord has been dealing with from day one, before I even knew that that was the subject or that's what he was doing. He is the God who answers before we call. So when we came here 15, now almost 16 years ago, he began immediately to go to work on that. And he's used that to change the opinion, my opinion, of myself. I'd mentioned this before again. I've asked the Lord to deliver me from opinions of men. And he said, no, but what I am going to do is deliver you from your opinion of yourself. And that's what he's been doing. I'll tell you, there were times in the past when I was asked to get up. I didn't want to get up here at all. Okay? I had such a low opinion of myself. And I'm, you know, I'm aware of all the other gifts that are out here. I've talked to people. I know what God's given them. And it's like, it's just so unwise, as Scripture says, to compare ourselves to other people. And I think I mentioned the last time, it's just, I can't tell you what freedom it is. You know, it's easy to say these things, but when they're rendered apparent in your own life, that's what it's all about. I can honor the gifts, I can respect the gifts, I can do that, but you know, for me to dishonor, I'm going to, I guess, say it that way, for lack of a better word, for me to dishonor what God's done in my life, what He's deposited in my life, and to have no confidence at all about what He's showing me is really a slap in the face to God. And why would we forfeit one of the most precious things that the Lord has given all of us? And that is our individuality of who we are in the body. I mean, I hear people talk in the body about unity all the time. Unity, unity, unity. Well, I understand that. That's great. I used to think unity was sameness. It isn't. If you look at the diversity of the human body, the parts are very different. And for me to dishonor any part is to dishonor the Lord. And I might not agree with on some level, or only I might not disagree, but I might not agree because I don't understand. And I've found that a lot of it is that. What feels like disagreement, what feels wrong to my soul, is really a lack of understanding. I can't amen something I don't understand. I mean, sometimes I do amen things, and we all do, just because it so resonates in our spirit, and there's a truth in that as well. But there's also a part of it where I just don't know yet. So, I had mentioned before that I'm a novice at this, and had shared a couple things, you know, with Gary, and he's like, well, when you get over feeling that way, let me know. That's kind of reassuring. Point is, I really don't want to get over being a novice. There's a lot of security in that for me, because I'm not inclined to trust anything I'm doing at all. I think that's a safe place to be. I think it's staying teachable. So I'm sort of discovering as I'm going along, and had a few opportunities to speak, there is a peace that has come with this. There's also an understanding of how truth is unfolding in my life as I have, if I can use the word, stepped out. It's different than sitting. It really is. And I don't take for one second lightly the responsibility of being in a place where people will hear things. And I feel very accountable for whatever truth I may be speaking. And that's why I think on several occasions I've mentioned I'm very cautious to should. That you should. do something. I don't presume to know what you should be doing, because I know it's the intention of the Lord for all of us, and we've, especially here, to learn how to rely upon the leadership of the Holy Spirit for ourselves. One thing I am sure of for everyone is that when everyone has their own walk and they find their own place, and we get over that pressure of feeling like we have to be conformed to anybody else's image other than Christ, and people begin to walk in that, I think there's going to be some things that are happening collectively that haven't happened before. You know, the world by and large has seen a body that's extremely disjointed, a body that has no power, a body that talks one thing and does something else, a body that has parts, but it's tried to put them all together. I remember my dad a long time ago, and I don't know why these things stick in my mind. When I was a kid, he showed me this, and I had to ask him about it because I didn't understand it. And it was a donkey that was all, the parts were not where they should be. And underneath the caption on this was something about the fact that it was made by a committee. It was put together by a committee. The body of Christ is not to be put together by a committee. Yeah. He's the one that fitly joins us together. He's the one that makes this a living organism that even in its diversity is unified. That's why it's very dangerous to look at another part of the body and become critical or judgmental of a part of the body that we may not understand. I'm not talking about immediately we go to, well, the doctrine and the under, and I understand all that, and we're not to compromise our beliefs as far as truth, okay? I mean, we're not talking about the virgin birth or the Trinity or any, we're not talking about that. I'm talking about there's a huge gray area in between where you've got dogma in the center, more or less. And this, I may not be describing this right, but I'm describing, trying to describe the image that's on the inside of myself about this. You've got this core where these, I mean, you talk about the virgin birth, and then somebody else has got another doctrine that's in a wider circle than that. They're not, I'm not going to die on a sword for something that's outside of that when I don't understand it, or try to base my walk or my life on that. Because at the next level of the circle is opinion. I'm not going to base my life on somebody else's opinion. Amen. Or someone who takes that opinion and calls it doctrine or whatever. That's where the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives, He's the one that brings you truth. He's the one that's going to show you, to unveil the reality of the truth that is within us. And when that truth is unveiled, we will be in perfect unity. The last time I spoke, I said some things that I really wasn't planning on saying, or bring some subjects that I brought up. And I think probably rather than just leaving those things sit, And I don't want to get sidetracked, but I think they require some explanation. And I don't want to take this and go off the deep end of it, and I feel like some of this is still working, is in process to me. A lot of this is in process. So I do want to explain it. I had mentioned last time, and I just got to tell you, these are hard areas for me that were brought up. They're hard from the standpoint of it is in process. I'd like to be more certain of every last little thing. But my desire to be certain of every last little thing is certainly more typical of the flesh than it is the spirit. Okay, my carnal mind, that part of me, and again, even to say that, everybody's got a concept of the mind and the renewed mind and how it all fits together. Let's just put it this way. It's the part of me that still isn't thinking straight. So however you want to characterize it, that part of me is always confused by the Holy Spirit. It's always confusing. It makes no sense. But what I have gotten a little bit of understanding on is the fact that we talk about circumstances. If I try to look at my life and figure out what God is doing by looking at my circumstances, it doesn't make sense. And that's the part of me that's looking at it that way. But see, my trust, and it all boils down to trust. It all becomes a trust issue. Again, I'll mention that way the Amplified puts the word believe is trust in, adhere to, and rely on. So my trust is not in what God's doing, it's in His nature. My trust is in who He is. That's where my trust lies. I can look at all the circumstances of this last week and all. It does not change the nature of God. It doesn't change who He is. God is love. That's the foundation of all of that. So any kind of theology or doctrine or prophetic word you think you get that violates the love of God, I'd think it over. But one of the statements that I brought up last week was the Holy Spirit telling me don't try to crucify the resurrected man. Now, I believe in the message of mortification. I understand that truth. I'm not denying that. But I also know religion, which is carnality, which is the carnal mind, will take a truth, and it's always going to take it further. I have wondered where Eve got the idea that God said not to touch the fruit. Where did that idea come from? Because I don't see any record in Scripture, at least from what I've read, that that was part of the commandment. So there's a tendency there to make these rules. That's how we got some of the some of the things that were in addition to the law was the man-made rules called their traditions. It wasn't the law, it was their way of helping it. And there's some strong language in Scripture, which is why I bring this up, that cautioned me about the tradition or the opinion, I'll put it that way. We talked about the opinions that lie out here, of forming a doctrine around an opinion. Because there is a vain worship and there is a making the word of null and void through traditions. Through our opinions, we can actually nullify the word, and there is a worship that is in vain through our opinions. You don't have to go there, but James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it, for that is the essence of self-deception." We don't need the enemy to be self-deceived. If you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like the person that looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but then you go out and you forget your divine origin. So, what we read in Colossians and what the word says about our conscience, Hebrews, how much more than the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Let us draw near with the true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. This self-deception, these thoughts, the root word of that is, these root words are all connected. And in 2 Corinthians 10, when it talks about imaginations, this is what it's talking about. We deceive ourselves by false reasoning, by believing a lie. There's nothing wrong with logic and reason as long as it's controlled by the Holy Spirit. We don't stop thinking when we're led by the Spirit. But these are reckonings and computations to take all the reasons, to look at all the information and weigh it out, and then come to a conclusion. Weighing out all these reasons, using logic without the Holy Spirit, is deception. So, the Lord is delivering me from my opinion of myself. I think there is a great value in a clear conscience. Again, let's not be confused with the part of mortification and knowing, because that same thinking is used in Romans 2:15 that we've talked about, so that everyone else has talked about so much, accusing and excusing. It's the same reasoning, but with the Holy Spirit to lead us into what's right and what's wrong. But I'm talking about one that was contaminated from the fall. Because if you go back to the garden and you see what happened after the fall, the first one of the first things of that was hiding in shame. They did not know they were naked until after they got this logic and reasoning, this ability to decide something on their own apart from the Holy Spirit. I mean, that lets you know how self-aware they were. You know, it's like having that dream I think everybody's had occasionally that, you know, you go somewhere and you forget to put all your clothes on. I see some people may have thought that. Otherwise, it's like, okay, I'm still getting free, okay? So, but that's when they... That was one of the first evidences of it. Let's make sure that that conscious is not a sin consciousness where I'm constantly analyzing everything in terms of a sin. I don't have a sin nature anymore. I'm not a sinner anymore. And that's not because I've figured out all that in my mind. It's because that's what the Word of God says. And I don't have evidence other than the Word, which Gary's said many times, that's all the evidence you need. That I'm not a sinner. Does that mean I can still able to sin? Well, you know that's right. But that doesn't make me a sinner. Because of what's already been accomplished, because of where I'm already seated. And just because no matter what, in a week I feel like the enemy's kicking my brains out, I am seated above all these principalities and all these powers, and all the other stuff is just a lie. But in my life, I have come to realize the value of a clear conscience. And I would have heard it this way, and this is the way it lands right for me. My clean conscience is the way I manage the application of truth over my life. I cannot apply and manage the truth of the rest of the Word when I think I'm someone I'm not. I think also that the more intense the warfare is, the more necessary is a clean conscience. We are not going to come boldly and receive everything God has for us and walk in the fullness of what He's created us to be without a clean conscience. Where you're constantly accusing yourself of every little thing. That I'm looking for the next little thing that I might do wrong. That I, even in the middle of the message of this, am thinking, why am I going through all this right now? And what's everybody... See, don't think for a moment that what I'm getting free of is not majorly put to the test by my being up here. And how He orchestrates all this at the same time is just... The Holy Spirit is a genius in every way. Not just in this realm, but in doing life, if we'll let Him be a part of that as well. What we believe should affect every part of our life. You know, I ought to be the best pawpaw in the world because I know Jesus. I ought to be the most faithful guy on my job, most diligent, or all of those things, because that's who He is. Just so happened to stumble upon this verse. One that we're all pretty much familiar with. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. You don't have to turn there, but I'll go ahead and read it. The Apostle Paul wrote, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." That's about all I had heard before of this. But then when the Holy Spirit is putting all this together and I read that verse, it was one of those bell-ringing sort of moments. Holding faith and a good conscience. You mean that's part of warring with my prophecies? Evidently it is. And that holding, I like to look at these words. I don't know a thing about Greek, but I like to go to the concordance and look those things up. That word holding, to have or hold the possession of the mind. To hold oneself to a thing, to lay hold of a thing, to adhere to. And then that sort of connected to me the believing, because it's trusting in, relying upon, and the adhering to. It's adhering to that as well. So, again, this is fine. What is all this about? To me, it's co-laboring with God. It's having a free conscience and being able to co-labor with what the Lord has said about me. And he told me one time, still, mind you, on the subject of my opinion of myself, that for me to think of myself apart from what the Word of God, who the Word of God says I am, is to co-labor with the demonic. I'm partnering with the demonic. Over the last 5 years, I had mentioned before, I've been confronted with just about every fear that I've had, and many I didn't know that he uncovered. And what else would he bring to fight that other than the love of God? When the love of God shows up, the fear runs screaming from the room. I think I'm going to close with this. Just happened upon another one of these verses. And I'm going to read it out of the Amplified, so you won't have to turn there. But the reference is Philippians 1, verses 28 and 29. "And in no way be alarmed or intimidated in anything by your opponents." The opponents are anything that would oppose, whether it's our own thoughts about ourselves, whether it's circumstances. All of these things are stacking up this reasoning apart from God. It's all this evidence that stacks up. Just like I've shared part of this with you, I found out after several years my back issues, went and had an x-ray, and the guy was like, "I'm not going to lie to you, that's not pretty. I want to order an MRI, which he did. Got the MRI back. Brenda and I sat in an office, and I had a look at that. Let's put it this way. I knew enough about anatomy and physiology to know that wasn't right. And there was all that evidence. Here it comes. And I know that feeling that maybe perhaps some of you've had when that wave of adrenaline, that wave of that rush of fear hits you. And I didn't say anything, but it was flowing pretty strong after we got out of there. Now, this is funny. I think it is. We're not saying too much in the car. We're just all kind of processing that whole deal of like, what just happened in there? What was that? Brenda goes, "That's not your back." I said, "Amen, sister. You preach it." I'm like, "Man, that's good, baby. I needed that." Here's the funny part. We got to be able to laugh at ourselves, right? We're learning how to do all this. So later on, she goes, "No, honey." She goes, "I really meant, I didn't think that was your back. I thought they got the wrong MRI in there." Too late. I'd already got a hold of the word. I was already past that, but boy, that was pretty funny. So, all this evidence, all this, whatever you've experienced this week, whatever's going on in your life, is all this evidence. In no way be alarmed or intimidated in anything by your opponents. This I had never seen before. I really like it. For such constancy and fearlessness on our part is a clear sign and proof and a seal for them of their impending destruction. Who's it talking about? Yeah, I like to give him a lot of signs, but let me tell you, this is a good one. When I'm constant and I'm fearless and I hold upon the Word of God, guess what? I know where you're going, buddy. And here's a reminder of it right now. For us, of deliverance and salvation, and that too from God. For we have been granted the privilege for Christ's sake, not only to believe and confidently trust in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. So now when that fear comes, that's a great opportunity to just rub it in the enemy's face by being fearless, by trusting the Word, by showing him, "I just want to remind you, devil, this is where you're going. I'm going to heaven." You know, the enemy's always like, well, you know, he's always feeling this feeling over the years of, he's just got a gun to my head. It's like, what are you going to do? Send me to heaven? Well, again, this is a little better time-wise, a little bit better. I like to take 5 or 6 minutes to set our faith in agreement with this song. It's the Word, it's truth. And let's just allow the Holy Spirit to come to each one of us individually. It's only He can do. Come each one of us like we're the favorite. He can make that happen. We're all favorites. but to speak to our hearts. I don't know everything that I really don't know much of a lot of what people are going through. But whatever fear is there, I know the love of God changes that. We all have things in our life, you know. I know about even about the future, you know. And as you age, the future. But you know, the only time I get that anxiety, I realized, is when I think of a future without God. Otherwise, there is no fear. So if we could just maybe take 5 or 6 minutes for this, and then when this is concluded, you are released. God bless you.
And I will bless the Lord forever. Trust Him at all times. For He has delivered me from all fear. And He has set my feet upon the rock. and I say,